California wildfires continue to burn, and the state is currently under a red flag warning for strong, gusty winds and low humidity.
We are just coming off a record week, a heat wave that led to 130 degree temperatures, the highest temperature ever recorded in California, arguably the world's history here in our state. The hots are getting hotter, the dries are getting drier. Climate change is real. If you are in denial about climate change, come to California.
That's California Governor Gavin Newsom during the Democratic National Convention a few weeks ago. And on Sunday, he declared a state of emergency in five California counties. And farm workers in California are especially vulnerable. The people harvesting the fruits and vegetables, those helping keep the country fed. They continue to work despite COVID-19, despite heat waves and the wildfires, making the air smoky and really hard to breathe. Recently in Sonoma County, the fires were so severe that evacuation orders were placed and some residents were forced to leave their homes. But farm workers stayed. The Sonoma County Evacuation Waiver Program allowed the Agricultural Commissioner, Tony Liniger, to dole out access passes to the farm workers to ensure they'd continue harvesting the grapes, even in evacuation zones. For most farm workers, not working is not an option. Many are undocumented and without insurance. And the choice between safety and work is really not a choice at all. No work, no pay, which leaves thousands in dangerous conditions right now. I'm Arun Vanagopal in for Tanzina Vega, and breaking down working conditions for farm workers is where we start today on The Takeaway. Here with me to discuss is Somini Sengupta, the international climate reporter for The New York Times. Somini, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Arun.
You actually went to California and you spoke with farm workers there. Can you tell us about the farm workers that you met and what they're experiencing right now?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was there recently to the San Joaquin Valley, which is in the center of California. It's this long, wide valley that's turned into largely industrial farmland. And that's where the grapes and the carrots and the lettuce, the watermelon, the pumpkins, pretty much everything the rest of the country eats to stay healthy. That's where much of it is grown. So one day when I was there recently, by noon, temperatures had soared past 100 degrees Fahrenheit near a town called Lodi. And I met a woman named Leonor. She was working in the cherry orchards. The harvest was done, and Leonor and a group of other women were there to clear the branches that had been hacked off the trees after the harvest. They needed to clear the fields before the pesticides could be sprayed on the fields. And you know, the Valley Air Pollution Control Board, the government air pollution agency, was saying that the air was unhealthy. By the end of that week, the Air Pollution Control Board was telling everyone to stay home. But Leonor was still working every morning. She was out there still working. And I asked her, and she said, well, if we stay indoors, we don't get paid. We've got bills to pay. Leonor and her husband have three children. They're in school. They rent a house in the town. Air conditioning bills are extremely high for them this summer. And so for Leonor and many other farm workers I spoke to, whether the air was unhealthy, whether there was smoke in the air, whether there was ash falling from the sky, not working was simply not an option.
And what's extraordinary about this, to me at least, Somini, is the fact that these are what you might call first responders. They are providing food that we all depend on, right?
They are essential workers. They are out there picking weeds and preparing the fields and harvesting the crops and fixing the irrigation systems. And essentially, everything that we eat to stay healthy, those five almonds that you eat every day, or the grapes, or the cherries, the tomatoes that go into our meals, they're the ones who are harvesting those crops every day. And they're doing so at a time when climate change is making heat waves hotter, more frequent, more intense, and when wildfires are spreading across just vast areas of California. So millions of acres of California are on fire, have been on fire for the last few weeks, as we all are seeing. And farm workers are continuing to work in the fields.
I spoke to my sister the other day. She lives in Marin County, basically the Bay Area. And I'm always used to it being a little chilly, a little rainy. She told me it was 108 degrees there. Now this, where you were, is basically a few hours east of San Francisco and the Bay Area, correct?
Yes, it's east and south. So this is inland. It's a valley that's nestled by two mountain ranges. It's essentially between the Bay Area and Los Angeles. And I drove down that valley from the north to the south, speaking to farm workers in the fields.
I remember spending some time there years ago, and it was really hot. And that was well before these conditions that you're describing. So it's basically getting even hotter and even drier. And these are the people who have to deal with this on a daily basis.
It's already hot in the valley, but summer days are hotter than they were 100 years ago in California. That's what the data shows. Even worse, summer nights are hotter. And that's really important because that's when the body has a chance to cool down. So if you can't cool down at night, or if it's harder to cool down at night, it can actually be very, very dangerous for our health. Additionally, the valley is where wildfire smoke, whether it's coming from Northern California or Southern California, it's where the smoke always gets stuck. But now that so much of California is on fire, when fire weather days have essentially doubled in frequency since the 1980s, this part of the state, the Central Valley, just has many more days of really, really unhealthy air. So for farm workers who are exposed just by nature of their work, the work is just much more hazardous.
So tell us about the health risks that these farm workers are essentially confronting, the fact that they're breathing in this smoke on a daily basis. So what does that mean for their health?
Right. So even when the government air pollution officials are advising everyone to stay indoors, farm workers are still outdoors working. That is their workplace. So chronic exposure to air pollution, and I just want to add that not only does wildfire smoke create unhealthy air, like really unhealthy air in the Central Valley, there's also just the pollution coming from trucks that are whizzing down the highway. There's pollution coming from the chemicals that are sprayed on the fields. And there's also, in parts of the valley, there's oil wells pumping oil. And that creates air pollution as well. So parts of the Central Valley have some of the highest rates of asthma and other respiratory diseases. There's also something very specific to the valley. There's actually a disease called valley fever, and it's a respiratory ailment that comes from fungus in the soil. And agricultural workers are disproportionately exposed to this as well.
What kind of protections, if any, do these workers have in terms of pay protections or health insurance, anything like that?
So that's a really good question. The California is unique in the country. It's one of two states, along with Washington, that actually has extreme heat protections built into its occupational safety regulations. So that means that agricultural workers must be offered water, shade, breaks during really hot days. But there is no cutoff. There's no temperature threshold at which work must stop. That really remains at the discretion of contractors and employers. And when I was speaking to the workers, they made it very clear to me that if they were forced to stop working because it was extremely hot or because the air was unhealthy, they were not going to get paid. And they were not going to be able to pay the rent and buy food. So the underlying economics of their working conditions really force them, compel them to work under hazardous, unhealthy conditions. They, by and large, lack health insurance, and so preventive health care is kind of a luxury. Many of them end up in the emergency room when they get really sick, and they lack basic protections that that many of us have, which is, you know, unemployment benefits. If they're not working, if they're not able to work, they don't get paid.
And we're, of course, also in the middle of a pandemic. Have there been outbreaks amongst farm workers?
Central California counties have especially high rates of coronavirus infections, and there have been a spate of infections, particularly in processing and packing plants. Everyone I spoke to a person, knew someone who had been sick. So either a coworker, an aunt, a relative, a neighbor, everyone knew someone who had been sick. And there have been, just as in meat processing plants in the Midwest, in nut packing processing plants, in fruit and vegetable processing plants, there have been infections because, you know, workers are in close proximity to one another. I should add that generally, when there are really bad wildfires and there's smoke in Central California, there are efforts made to get masks out to farm workers. This year, masks have gone out a little bit later than they should have because there's a real, you know, there's a run on N95 masks.
You quote an official from United Farm Workers of America who says, all these conditions that you've described, the conditions that farm workers have to deal with on a daily basis, even during a pandemic and even during these terrible wildfires, he says it's the price of cheap food, which I found really telling and kind of tragic, given that these are essential workers and they are keeping us fed. Is there anything that you think needs to be done or should be done, given that this is increasingly an annual phenomenon and we all rely on this food nationally, but these are the people who are bearing the brunt of these conditions?
The economics of cheap food and climate change are colliding on industrial farms. And the ones who are paying the price are some of the poorest, most neglected, most marginalized workers who happen to be overwhelmingly immigrants from Mexico.
Price of cheap food. Soumini Sengupta is a climate reporter for The New York Times. Soumini, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of The New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.